Well, good morning. Well, I was supposed to be up here the first week of January, and the weather had decided to go a little crazy on us, and it got a little cold and a little hairy out there as the ice was coming down. So me and Mike were talking, and Mike declared it was better just to be safe and not have church that week. So we pushed it off, and I've had this sermon on my heart for a little while, and Pastor Tim said, "Well, hold on a minute." He said, "We're going to be busy with Timmy and Kristen here in a little bit with the kids." And he said, "How about that week you come and preach?" And I said, "That'll work great." So I can finally get this out. this morning I was thinking, well, this sermon's a little late in the year. I mean, we're already in February. It's not too far away in the year. But I titled this sermon, "A New Year, A New Heart." Again, this was supposed to be the first week of January before people were starting to even make their resolutions. You know, if you make one, I don't know, some don't do that, some do. But so I was thinking this sermon would be great for the beginning of the year, a new heart. And many need a new heart, don't they? You know, my heart needs to be renewed every day. And, you know, I can think about my own life and I think about the past years, you know, now that I've been saved for a little bit of time now, and I can look back on a couple years and I can say, well, have I really grown in Christ? I mean, does every year, is my heart getting closer and closer to Him? Am I growing in Him? Am I growing as a Christian? Do I love Him more? And I think every year, is my heart growing closer to Him? If not, then I need a new heart. I need to renew my heart and I need to get right with the Lord. And many Christians are like that. Many in this world, they live day by day, year by year, nothing changes in their lives. They're cold. They're lukewarm. God warns about all that stuff. But so I was thinking, you know, the first week of January, why not set a resolution this year? A new year, a new heart towards Christ. Maybe we need that. Maybe some of you are right with Christ where you need to be. Good. Keep growing in that. But some of us maybe need to be getting a new heart. So think about this morning, and I was thinking about resolutions and how people set them. You know, many of them set them for exercise. They need to exercise more. They need to eat more healthy. They need to work less. They need to spend more time with family. These are just some examples of what some people do. But 88% of those, this is just a quick Google search, 88% of those fail within the first 2 weeks. So it's not easy. This is not something easy. A New Year's resolution is not easy. And it's not easy as a Christian, is it? We know the battle. We know the struggle of living for Christ. And again, day by day, I got to renew my heart. And many have fallen into that where they don't. You know, they just continue to just kind of sit back, do nothing about that. And they just grow colder and colder and colder. They don't love Christ as they ought. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And I wanted to figure out what this problem was. Well, the problem is, it's a hardened heart. It's a hardened heart. And the Bible speaks of a hardened heart. And I made 4 points on this, just 4. And the first point is, what is a hardened heart? What is it? Well, a hardened heart is an insensitive heart. It's an insensitive heart that has little feeling towards God. A heart that lacks faith and trust in God. And it is a heart that does not know God, who He really is. It forgets who God is. It grows cold. And Israel is quite a great example of people that turn from God and they harden their hearts. They've done this quite often throughout their history. And so this morning I wanted to start off in Psalm 95, verses 8 through 11. And now this is David here. David's reminiscing on a time when Israel hardened their heart. And I'll start in verse 8 and read. It's Psalm 95, 8, verses through, or 8 through 11. Psalm 95, 8 through 11. And it says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to again thank you and praise you for this morning, Lord. And Father, as we open your word, again, Father, I pray that you'd be the one preaching, Father, not me. Let the Holy Spirit do its work, Father. And Lord, use none of me, but use all of you. And Lord, just use me as a mouthpiece, Father. Let it come out with clarity and with power and authority, Father. Make it clear to our hearts and pierce our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Psalm 95, we see David again. David's reminiscing about a time when Israel hardened their heart. And we see this in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts. So God's saying, do not harden your hearts. So this can happen. This is a problem that can happen. People can harden their hearts. God makes it very clear right here. Do not harden your hearts. God's saying it's not a good thing. This is not a good thing. It is a problem. It is a problem. And we see an example of this problem. And this is where Israel comes into play. And it says, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. So we're given an example of a time there was a hardened heart. And this is Israel, and it says, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. And this is speaking of Israel. And this is speaking of Exodus 17. So if you want to turn there this morning, we'll go a little deeper in this. And I want to learn a little bit about why Israel hardened their heart. So go to Exodus 17. And keep your mark at Psalm 95. We'll go back there. But go to Exodus 17, and we're going to look a little deeper into why Israel's heart was hardened. Exodus 17. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And it says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take you with some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and if you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So David was reminiscing about this time in Israel's history. He was reminiscing about Meribah and Massah. And Meribah just means that was the argument. This was the contention going on. When it mentioned the contention, God titled that time Meribah. He called this place Meribah, which just meant, all that means is contention. And that contention means an argument or a dispute. So this is where Israel argued and disputed with Moses and God. And they also titled this place Massah, meaning they tested and tempted God. They tested and tempted God. So Israel was not in a right heart at this time. Their heart was hardened. It was in a dangerous place. And we see a problem that arises. We see a problem that arises as Israel's in the desert here. As they're in a place where there's no food or water. There's no water. That's the problem. They are thirsty. And we see that in verse 1. It says, to the commandment of the Lord and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. You know, and I think about what causes my heart to harden so often. Well, problems. Problems arise in our lives, and much of those problems can harden our hearts towards God. Just as Israel's heart was hardened. A problem arose, and their heart hardened towards God. How many of us can say we have problems in our lives? A lot of us, all of us. All of us should be raising our hands on that one. We all have problems. Now, some of those problems are serious. Some of them not so serious. And God says we can solve our own problems. He gives us that ability, right? He does give us the ability to solve our problems. I mean, if you have a flat tire on the side of the road, you don't have to sit there and pray, for God, to God to help you. I mean, you can, by all means, pray to God, ask Him for help you if you don't know how to change a tire, but God gives you the common sense. Change the tire, get going. We can solve our own problems, church. We can on some ways. God gives us that ability. But this was a serious problem. There was no water. And they were beginning to get angry. They were panicking. They were getting upset. And they were thirsty. But instead, they lost sight of who God was. This is where they lacked faith. This is what a hardened heart is. They lacked faith. They lacked trust. They were insensitive towards God. Their heart was not soft. They forgot who God was. And because of this, they grew angry. So instead of just falling on their knees and crying out to God to help them, which they should have done, knowing that this was the God that brought them out of Egypt, the God that split the Red Sea and swallowed up the Egyptians that were after them, the God that put all the problems on Egypt. I mean, let me tell you, He had all kinds of things going on with Egypt. I mean, He was putting all types of plagues on them, weren't they? I mean, they couldn't run from God. He killed the firstborn of them. God wasn't playing around. This God was throwing His power and authority. He was serious. And again, He parted the Red Sea and then swallowed up the Egyptians that were after Him. This was the God that in chapter 16 here in Exodus, He sent bread from heaven to feed them when they were hungry. I mean, this God was taking care of His people. And yet one problem arises and all of a sudden they're panicking, they're freaking out, they're angry and they're upset. And they harden their heart towards God and they lack faith, they lack trust. Instead of falling on their knees praying to God to help them, they freak out and they say, "We're going to stone Moses." Moses was so freaked out about this that the people were so angry, they thought he was going to get stoned. I mean, imagine that. That's how angry these people got. They completely lacked faith in God. Completely lacked faith. And it says, "And the people thirsted therefore for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, 'Why is it you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?'" They were angry with God and angry with Moses. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, now Moses went to God. Where did Moses go? He went to God, which is what the people of Israel should have done. They went to God. Moses went to God and said, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And God says, "Now hold on a minute, Moses. I got this. As I usually do, I take care of them. I will take care of you yet again." And the Lord said to Moses, Go before the people and take with you some of the elders. Now He brought the elders with Him because why? I think the elders need to be reminded of who God was. I believe Moses was supposed to bring the elders with him because the elders needed to understand they forgot who God was. So Moses was told to bring the elders with him and go split the rock, let the water flow out of that rock. They needed to see the miracle yet again that God's got this. God's got it under control. You have problems in your life, God has it under control. I'm reminded of John 16:33. Trials and tribulations will come in your life. Jesus is preaching in John 16:33 that there will be trials and tribulations in your life. There will be problems. But take heart, I've overcome the world. There is not a problem that Christ cannot handle. There's not. The greatest problem we have is death and sin. Guess what? He overcame that. That's the greatest problem we have, and yet He overcame that one. There's no other problem He can't handle. And I believe God was saying, "Hey, elders, go with Moses, and I will remind you yet again that when I split this rock, I'm the one in charge. If you would just fall on your faces and have faith and trust in me instead of hardening your hearts towards me, you wouldn't understand that I've got you. I will take care of you." So we see this problem in Exodus 17. We see why Israel hardened their heart. And David's just reminiscing about this time. He's reminiscing about this time of Israel hardening their heart. And to continue on here, let's go back to Psalm. We'll go back to Psalm 95 here. But I just want to go to Exodus and just show you a little bit of the background of what was going on. So as we go back to Psalm 95, let me get there. We'll continue on and we'll understand a little bit more. But I want you to quickly understand, out of Psalm 95, this was a time of rebellion. And it says in verse 8, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." So understand a hardened heart, church. If you want to understand one thing out of today, I pray that you would understand this. A hardened heart is a time of rebellion. You are in rebellion if you have a hardened heart towards God. You are in rebellion. And it says it there in verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. There's where it's at. So understand, church, understand one thing from today. If you have a hardened heart this morning, know that you are in rebellion against God and you need to get it fixed. You need to get that fixed this morning. And I want to look at verse 10 here, back in Psalm 95. Let's look at verse 10. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation. This is God talking and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. It is the people that go astray in their hearts. It wasn't God that goes astray, church. It was Israel that went astray in Exodus. It was Israel that lost sight of God. It was Israel that lacked faith. It was Israel that was insensitive towards God. It was all Israel. It was all the people. It was not God, church. It was not God. And God's saying people are the one that go astray in their hearts. And this reminded me of Proverbs 4:23. I went there and it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. Now, I was thinking of Mike on diligence. You know, he seemed to love that word lately. And he said that's really worked in his heart and pierced his heart. Because diligence means maximum effort. I mean, pour it all out in this. Pour it out. It means with all authority, with every bit of every effort you have, keep your heart in check. Keep it in check. Why? Because out of it springs forth the issues of life. The issues we tend to have in life comes from ourselves, church. A lot of the problems we have, sometimes it's life just throwing problems at us, but we tend to blow our problems up a little bit. We're bad at that. Sometimes we think we can handle our own problems, and in reality, we really can't. And sometimes they blow out of proportion. And again, God gives us some common sense to handle our problems, but we do need to come to God. We do need to come to God, and we need to ask Him for help. And this morning, I want you to understand, keep your hearts with all diligence. Because out of it springs the four issues of life. So God's saying the reason why Israel was in a rebellion, Israel was hardened, it was because it sprang forth out of their own heart. It was out of their heart they did it. So know this, we know what a hardened heart is now. It is a hardened heart. A hardened heart is a heart that is insensitive, lacks love towards God, is faithless, does not trust in God. That is what a hardened heart is. So now that we know what it is, let's move on to number two. How do I know my heart is hard? How do I know my heart is hard? I know what it is now, but how do I know it's hard? Well, if you are an unbeliever, if you've never called on Christ as your Lord and Savior, understand your heart is already hard. Your heart's hard because without Christ, you are already in rebellion. You're in rebellion. You are not a child of God. And if you are not a child of God, you are in rebellion against Him. You have a hardened heart. God's never done a work in you because you've never called on Him as Lord and Savior. He's never transformed you. You've never repented of your sins. And this morning, I ask that you would. I ask that you would do that this morning because we'll get into this a little deeper in number three, but there is a danger to a hardened heart. There is a danger to it. And if you are a believer, it will be evident that your heart is hard. It's going to be evident. And much of you know it is. See, I can get a hardened heart, and I know my heart's hard. I know when I am not living as I ought to live. It's pretty evident. God's going to let you know. It pierces the heart. It pierces you a little bit, but you can live in rebellion. You can harden your heart towards that instead of repenting and turning to God. Instead, I just walk further away. I harden my heart even more. I callous it. And let's just give some examples here. Your desire to study the Word and pray is very little. It's very little. You've been lacking in that. There's not really a desire there. The Spirit isn't moving in you as you know it once has. You know, I think of the time when I was first saved. Boy, I was on fire. I had a love for others. I had a love for God. All I wanted to do was live for Him. I've strayed in that. If I'm being honest this morning with you, church, I have strayed in that big time. I really have. Much of that passion, much of that fire, much of that zeal, it goes away. And the problem is it's because we're hardening our hearts towards God instead of leaving our hearts soft instead of repenting of our sins, instead of living as we ought to live, instead we just kind of let this world overcome us. Problems in our life overcome us. We get busy with things. Things get a hold of us. And our hearts grow hard. And instead of living for God, we're just living for other things. You fall into sin easily. And you're not hardly repenting of them. You're not asking God for forgiveness. You know, sin becomes easy. Instead of resisting sin, or instead of resisting the temptation, instead of resisting the lust and the desires, instead of fighting back, you're just letting it happen. It's just falling on you. You know it's coming, but you're just letting it happen. You just kind of mosey on through life, and you almost feel like God's angry at you. God's upset with you. You feel distant from God. I've been in these places, church. I have. You know, I've been saved for 3, almost 4 years now, and I can tell you, I've fallen into some of these. A lot of them. I felt distant from God. I've hardened my heart so much in the past couple years. I really have. Much of my fire has dwindled. And I think about 1 John 2. You can turn there if you'd like. But 1 John 2, 1 through 6, it just speaks on who doesn't have a hardened heart. It kind of gives an example. See, we know the difference now. We can know this difference. In 1 John 2, we see someone who loves God. What are they doing? Well, they're keeping the commandments of God. You know, we know the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know number 2, love others as you love yourself. Right? Those are 2 greatest commandments. And it says in 1 John 2, if you love God, you keep those commandments. You keep the commandments of God. You live for those commandments. You do what is right. That is someone who loves God. That is someone who does not have a hardened heart. So maybe this morning you need to look at yourself and say, boy, do I really love God? Am I really keeping His commandments? Or am I doing all these other things? Am I distant from God? Is my heart hardened? Is my spirit not so high and holy with God? Am I walking in the spirit or am I walking in the flesh? Pastor Tim's been talking about that these past couple weeks. You know, are you walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh? It's obvious for a believer which one you are in. It's obvious. And someone who's walking with God, someone who's walking with a right heart, is keeping the commandments of God. Are they doing that in perfection? No, but they're striving after it. And the difference is they're not running from God. They're falling on God and they're trusting in God and they have faith in God that they're going to help them out of this situation of sin. And they're going to be asking for forgiveness and they're going to be repenting of that sin. They're going to be living for God. They're going to be going after Him. So how do I know my heart is hard? Well, there's going to be evidence, and we've just seen some of that evidence. If you do not have Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your heart is hard. It's a given fact. You are in rebellion against God. You are not His child. But if you are a believer and these things are happening in you, then your heart is hard. And we see the difference there. Someone who loves God, someone whose heart is not hard, is someone who loves the Lord God with all their heart. And they're striving to keep His commandments. So if you're not striving to keep His commandments this morning, something's wrong. You need to get it fixed. And I was thinking of Luke 15, because I know that's some hard truth, and I know that could be a little scary. But I was thinking of Luke 15, and it's just reminding me of how we can come back to the God. You know, in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, it speaks of the son that left his father. He said, Father, give me everything that give me my inheritance, and I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm leaving you. I'm going to go live my life how I want to live it. Much of what goes on when a hardened heart is. We go in this world just living how we want to live. Don't care much about God. Heart's hard. Doing what we want to do. Knowing we need to come back to God, but we don't. But this son went out into this world and he was living how he wanted to live. Well, guess what happened? It wasn't all it cracked up to be. Well, he fell in some wicked ways, and the world chewed him up and spit him out. And he had nothing to turn to. The only thing he could think of is, I got to come back to my father. I got to go back to my father. And you know, I can believe that could be a hard thing to do, is go back to the guy that you just stomped all over and left. Now I got to come back to him. Well, guess what? That father had every right to say, son, you chose it. You can go live it now. I don't want no part of you. That's not what the father did, is it? You can go read this all for yourself, but that's not what the father did. No, he seen his son from a distance and he ran to him. He ran to him. And he broke down. He kissed him. He loved him. He hugged him. He said, "I'll clothe you," because he came back and he was a mess. He said, "I'll clothe you. I'll kill the fatted calf for you. We're going to have a feast. I'm so happy you're back. I love you." Church, if you have a hardened heart this morning, know you can come back to the Father. This is how He wants to accept you. He wants you to come back to Him. He wants you to come back to Him because He loves you. If He didn't love you, would He have sent His Son on the cross to die for us? That's the evidence right there, church, that God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Come to Him this morning. He loves you. If you have a hardened heart, you come to Him. But let's move on to number three here, point three. If you do not come back to Him, or you're trying to put this off a little longer, know there's a danger. There is a danger to a hardened heart. Psalm 95, verse 11 makes it clear. "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now again, God's speaking of Israel's rebellion in Exodus 17. God said, those people, all they did was rebel. They never trusted in me. They never had faith in me. They never loved me. All they did was harden their hearts. And because of that, I swore in my wrath, and they shall not enter my rest. Now God's speaking of the promised land there. He's saying, those people, they didn't get to the promised land. They didn't get to see it. You know why? Because they didn't deserve it. God said, I swore in my wrath, I'm done with them. They won't get to see the promised land. I'm taking them out. The next generations, they'll get to see it, but they won't. Because all they did was keep hardening their heart. God said, there's a danger to that. There is a danger to that. Let's go to Romans 2:5. I just want to look into this a little more. Romans 2:5. And this is the danger for an unbeliever. This is the danger for someone who has not come to Christ, who's not called on as Lord and Savior. Romans 2:5. Let's look at this. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Let's just continue reading on. "Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." Tribulation and anguish. Let's go to verse 9. "Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We see another warning right there, church. But let's go back to verse 5. "But in accordance with your hardness." There it is. The hardened heart. If you want to be hard, here's what's coming. "In your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath." Wrath is coming. God says, "I won't deal with that hardened heart forever. You can't have it forever. I'm going to deal with it one day. It's coming. You may live all fine and dandy right now, but it's coming. I'm going to deal with it." So you better get right with God this morning. You know, we can look out in this world and say, boy, is a hardened heart really that bad? I mean, we live in a world where people can have almost whatever they want. I mean, it's all out there. You can live and party it up and have fun and do all kinds of things you want to do. The world offers a lot. But in reality, if their heart's hard, guess what? Their sunshine and roses is coming to an end. Their sunshine and roses is coming to an end, church. And I just pray this morning that if your heart is hard and impotent towards God, then get right with God. You know, I think of Pharaoh back in Exodus. I think of Pharaoh. God said, "I will harden his heart." You know, Pharaoh was hardening his heart. God said, "I will harden his heart." And then it's done. It's sealed. His fate is sealed. God said, "I harden his heart now." He kept doing it. Well, guess what? I sealed his fate. He might do the same for you. It's a serious warning, church. It's a serious warning. You know, you may sit in church, hear the gospel preached, and your heart's convicted. And you know you need to come to God, but you keep putting it off. Don't put it off any longer. You don't know when your day is going to come to an end. You don't know when your time's up. God may say, well, you know what? I've convicted you. I've tried to help you. I've given you so many warnings throughout your life. You wouldn't turn to me. Guess what? The wrath comes. I'm dealing with you. It's over for you. Just as it was for those people. They never got to see the promised land. You might not get to see heaven if you don't come to God. If you don't come to Christ this morning, you may not get to see heaven. It's a serious warning. For a believer, let's go to Revelation 3. Let's just look at what a believer's hardened heart is. Let's just see a warning there. Revelation 3. Let's go to verses 14 through 20. We'll just read a little bit about this. It's kind of a lukewarmness of a heart. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things say, Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eyes salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Again, it's just a warning, church. A hardened heart is much like a lukewarm, cold heart. God vomits at it. He don't like it. He don't like rebellion. And he says much of the problems are is because some of you think you're rich, wealthy, and in need of nothing. You think you don't need God that much. Well, God's here to say that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Are your eyes seeing that this morning? Maybe you're seeing that my heart's hard. Maybe you're seeing that I'm poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. And this morning, maybe you're saying, I need God. When he says, I will refine you with gold and fire, and I will make you rich with white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He said, I will help you see these things. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Sometimes he's got to do that in your heart or in your life, church. Sometimes God's got to rebuke you and chasten you so he can get an understanding of your living in rebellion. He's saying, come back to me. Get your heart right with me. Because he says, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. If you are a child of God, he loves you. I think of 1 John 3:1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us to be called children of God. He loves his children, church, and he rebukes and chastens them. Why? Because he wants them to be living in righteousness. He wants them to be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because he knows there's something far greater. But many of you are so caught up in the world. You're caught up in problems, and all you're doing is letting that drive you further away from me. He says, I'm trying to get you back on track. Are you going to listen this morning? Are you going to listen to God? So be zealous and repent. Repent from those ways. Turn from them. So this morning we see what a hardened heart is. We can see how I know my heart is hard. And we see the danger of it. But number four here, we can soften our hearts and we can turn to Him. We can turn to Him. Again, we said Christ died for you. He died for you. He loves you. He's made the way for you. We can turn to Him. But it takes it. All it's going to take is you to soften your heart. You got to soften your heart. And you got to turn to Him. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And that's what I ask of you this morning. I just ask for you to examine your heart this morning. I mean, truly dig deep. Truly dig deep and see if your heart is hard somewhere. And if it is, turn back to the Lord. Now, how do I turn back to the Lord and soften my heart? Well, to soften your heart, prayer and the Word. Pastor Tim's been hitting on that hard a lot, and I love it. Prayer and the Word. You want to soften your heart? Prayer and the Word. Get in the Word. Get in prayer. Seek God. And we're going to look at that. For the Word, let's go look at the Word. Hebrews 4:12. Turn to Hebrews 4:12. We'll look a little bit into what the Word does and why it's so important for a believer to be in the Word, or why it's important for anybody to be in the Word. Because Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What does the Word of God do? It deals with the heart. It deals with the soul. It deals with the spirit. It deals with things. It's what it does. It's the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You know that hardened heart of yours? If you read the Word of God, it's going to deal with it. Because it can pierce it. It can pierce the heart. It's what it does. It is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. A two-edged sword's pretty sharp, ain't it? You wouldn't want to mess with it. It'd cut you. It ain't something to mess with. And God's saying the Word of God is powerful. It's just as that two-edged sword. It'll pierce. And it will. So if you need to soften your heart this morning, turn to the Word of God. Go to God. If you're saying, I've just seemed to be dealing with a hardened heart so much lately, turn to the Word of God. Turn to it. Read it. And then come and pray to God. Let's look at prayer. Jeremiah 29:13. Let's go there. Because this is how we should pray. Jeremiah 29:13. And it says, And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So when you come to prayer, church, know that it's not a joke. Prayer is not a joke. When you come to God in prayer, you need to be seeking Him with every bit of your heart. God even says it, when you search me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find me. So this morning, if you need God, you come to Him from prayer. Maybe you need to come down to this altar and you need to pray to God. Then you come to the altar and you pray. And you pray with all your heart. The very thing that... Your heart's the one with the problem, right? Well, God's saying, guess what? With that problemed heart is the same heart you need to come to me in prayer. The very thing I want to deal with, you come to me and you pray with all your heart. I want to see that you care. Because God knows the heart, does He not? He knows the heart. He knows the heart. Not too far away, we can see that. If you just jump over a couple pages and go to Jeremiah 17, we'll see what God knows. Jeremiah 17. So this is just a warning. This is a warning. When you come to prayer, you don't mess around with prayer. When you come to pray, you should pray with all your heart. And if not, guess what? Let's read verses 9 and 10 in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. He's saying the heart's wicked, and it is. I know my heart's wicked. Why? Because I've seen it. I've seen things it's capable of doing. Like I said, every morning, every day, I need to be getting renewed. I need to renew my heart. I need to be walking in the Spirit. If not, I can see what that heart does. It's desperately wicked. You know, I was thinking of this. My heart's almost like it's got a default setting. That's what I was thinking of. It's like a default setting. It's God's programmed it. You know, He said, I've changed your heart. I've saved you. Here's your new programming. It loves me. It wants to strive for me. But guess what? That default setting is always there. It's like a glitch happens. That glitch happens, and guess what? Your heart just falls right back into that default setting. And what's that default setting? It's desperately wicked. It's wicked. It falls into sin. It falls into its own desires. It's prideful. It doesn't need God. And it wants to live how it wants to live. It's almost like a default setting you can't get rid of. But guess what? One day it's going to be gone. When we get to be in glory, that default setting's getting deleted for good. God's saying that flesh, you no longer have to deal with it. You're going to be made into perfection. But right now, you're going to have to deal with that flesh. You're going to have to deal with it. And how do you deal with it? With prayer and the Word. With prayer and the Word. That's how you deal with that flesh. And then you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit because God knows falsehood. Many can come down here and prayer, not really meaning nothing about it, and they think they're all fine and dandy. They walk back out into this world, no change. Why? Because they didn't mean what they were praying. They didn't mean it. They didn't come with the full heart, full intent of getting a hold of God. And God says, I know that. I know when you do that. I can see that. You're not getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. I search the heart. I search that. So understand this morning, church, get right with God. But when you want to get right with God, you mean it. You mean it this morning. Don't mess around with it. Because God's not messing around with His wrath. When His wrath falls, it falls with all judgment. And it's a righteous judgment. It's pure. And it's well-deserving. So God's not messing around with His wrath. Don't mess around with God and say, I'm just going to come down here and say a little prayer. I'm just going to think my heart's right. I'm just going to kind of get myself where I'm happy. And then I'm just going to go out and live however I want to live. God says, no. I know the heart. Don't do that. And Hebrews 3:15, let's go to one last place this morning as we close. We'll go to Hebrews 3:15. And I just want to go here to help you see this a little more. I thought it'd be a good closer verse just to kind of wrap all this up. Oop, wrong spot. Hebrews 3:15. And it says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It's speaking of that same passage in Exodus. God says a hardened heart's rebellion. And God's saying, if today you will hear His voice. Maybe you're hearing this. Maybe this is convicting you. Maybe this is powerful to you. God says, well, then do not harden your hearts. Why would you harden your heart? Why go another day with a hardened heart? You shouldn't want to. You shouldn't want to. And God's saying, just as they did in the rebellion, they hardened their hearts. Today, do not do that. Do not do that. If you need to get right with God, do not do that. But I want you to know this morning, it is your choice. You will make a choice before you walk out these doors. And again, maybe your heart's right with God. That's wonderful. Stay that way. Continue to desire to be in the Word and desire to be in prayer, making supplication, making your way walking in the Spirit as you ought to walk. That's how you ought to be. And if you're there, good, stay in that. But if not, you're going to make a choice today whether you're going to deal with a hardened heart or you're not. So before you walk out those doors, know this, you're going to make a choice. What choice are you going to make this morning? Get right with God if you need to get right with God. Christ died on the cross for you. He's willing to save your soul if you need to be saved. And if you have a hardened heart as a believer and you need to get right with God, know this, He loves you. He wants you to come back to Him. And you can. So you get right with Him. Grandma, if you want to lead us in a hymn this morning, I ask you this morning to come get right with Him if you need to. And if you need me, if you need to talk with me, come talk with me. If you need to talk with Pastor Tim or Mike or anybody you trust, come talk to him. This is not something to mess around with. It's serious. And this morning I ask that you would deal with it. Thanks, Mike.